to like it, but we do have to respect it. The Chiefs get it done. They win their second Super Bowl in 4 years. Patrick Mahomes is now maybe moving up as far as one of the greatest quarterbacks already. I mean, it's nuts. It was overall a really fantastic game. I mean, it was, I would say 99% of it was great. And then it ended on this just real quiet dud. I mean, it was back and forth. Not really back and forth, because, I mean, the Eagles always had the lead. But the Chiefs just kept firing back. They were down 10 at the half. And overall, all right, it was a really great game. Now, of course, no Super Bowl is complete. No Chiefs game is complete anymore without some kind of referee drama controversy. And in this case, it was the defensive holding call on Eagles cornerback James Bradbury, 3rd and 8. So obviously, how much time was left there? Was it north of the 2 minute warning? I think it was, wasn't it?
It was about one.
Oh, was it south of there?
1:48, I think, was
okay.
It?
So they get the holding call. If the holding call doesn't happen, it's an incomplete pass, and then the Chiefs are going to kick a field goal, and you're going to have, you know, at least some time remaining for a hot quarterback in the Eagles. So, no, that call didn't end the game, or it did, but it didn't ensure that the Chiefs won. Yeah, the Chiefs could have still made a defensive stop, and the Eagles were slowing down, but it did essentially, ended the game. I mean, it really did. Because at that point, no more timeouts. You can run the clock down to, would they run it down to about 8 seconds? Kick the field goal. And then you got a Hail Mary opportunity coming up for Jalen Hurts. So that's our poll question of the day. Do you agree with the call? First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Was it defensive holding? When you saw it, Angel, like I picked the Chiefs to win, so I'm like, you know, I'm happy when the teams I pick win because it makes me look better, obviously. But I didn't think it looked like a very obvious defensive holding.
It's really tough, because especially when Bradbury comes out after the game and says, I did hold him. I thought I could get away with it. And this happens on every single play, and we've talked about it constantly about the penalties and stuff. It gets magnified when it's in a game like this.
Sure.
It's in the last couple of minutes, and up to that point, there hadn't really been super controversial calls outside of the couple of catches that one should have been, one shouldn't have been, blah, blah, blah. My dad was freaking out about it, about like just, oh, that should be a catch, that shouldn't be a catch, I don't know what's the rules anymore. Like,
you know,
right, but
it's
a tough call.
I
could see it go either way. Probably should have just let it go.
But it did, the route, you know, what was that, a little five and out and a little up, whatever you call that. Is that a hitch route? He goes up. The way it looked, clearly his momentum was slowed down by Bradbury. So it did, to me, that's why Mahomes threw it. He wasn't trying to complete the pass. As soon as he saw his receiver and his route kind of slow down there, he threw it up because he had a feeling it was going to be some kind of interference or holding. So the optics of it looked like it could be some kind of interference or defensive holding. And then you go back and you watch the replay, and there was something there. You know, if they didn't call it, I don't think I would have freaked out and said, oh my gosh, that's an obvious. But Bradbury, I know some people don't like this. They're like, well, just because he came out and said it was a penalty, that doesn't mean it was a penalty. Well, yeah, to me it kind of does. That kind of puts it to bed for me. Because how many times do you hear a player, they get called for a penalty like that, and it's like, oh, I don't know about that, or the refs, I'm not going to blame them, but yeah, I didn't feel like, but he flat out said it. I held him. I was hoping the refs wouldn't call it. And that's, I don't know, it kind of ended it for me. That put it to bed for me. So I'm not going to sit here today and say that was, you know, the fix is in again. Here we go. The script. But that's where everybody's going with it. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. I did pick it. I did pick the Chiefs to win, so obviously it helped my picking status. And by the way, when I pick a team to win, it doesn't mean I'm a fan. Doesn't mean I'm rooting for that team.
Yes, it does.
No, it doesn't. It means you're being analytical of the game in front of you, and you're picking. If I were to pick the Eagles, wouldn't that have said my anti-Chiefs fandom got in the way? No, I'm just picking the game. I have no Broncos hat on or AFC West hat on. So if I pick the Broncos to lose a game, does that mean I'm not a Broncos fan?
Yes.
Why? But that's just silly.
It's a new world.
No, it's dumb. And everyone's like, on my Facebook page, I thought you were a Broncos fan. Like, are they in it? Did I miss something? Did the Broncos squeeze in this bad boy? No, I'm looking at the game. And I want AFC West hate. I want Sean Payton coming out talking the way he does about not rooting for him and stuff. That's great. I want that from them. But I'm a sports talk show host. So my job is to, yeah, I'm a home talk show host. I'm a Colorado talk show host. I'm not a national talk show host. So I do lean toward the Nuggets and the Broncos and such. But if I pick a team that the Broncos don't like to win, it doesn't mean that I'm a fan of the Chiefs now. It just doesn't work that way. So, your thoughts on the defensive holding near broke? Didn't show well on replay, but initially you could see his jersey pulled on, and that slowed him down. Yeah, I think you just saw how the receiver lost momentum in his route. A little out and up. When he goes out, and as he turns to go up, he is slowed down. It wasn't obvious to me. But I can see some of those things in the Bengals game. You know, we talked about the intentional grounding and the extra, the 4 millionth third down they got. Like that, I can sit and have more of a, like, what just happened here? But that one did look like his progress was slowing down when he turned. So I get it. Texter from the 405, Philly lost it on the fumble for a touchdown and the two wide open Kansas City touchdowns. There were three big plays in this one that really defined it. Because I'll tell you, Angel, I felt like the Eagles were the better team for most of this game. But special teams and turnovers are always the difference maker. If you have a team that's better than you, you have to have things go your way. Jalen Hurts just dropped the ball, and it was a fumble. Chiefs run it back, score. They had a 60? What was the how far was that punt return? Was it 60? It was so slow developing, but he was able to get around that corner, and that wedge was created there with all those Chiefs players putting on blocks. And he was able to get it inside the 5-yard line. That was a big one. And then, of course, yeah, the defensive, the penalty, whether you agree with it or not, it was a big play. But yeah, the fumble for a touchdown was certainly a big one. And that's where you look at these games and say, man, two great teams, so evenly matched as far as points scored and quarterbacks. And again, the Philly's defense, how many sacks do they have this year? Quite a bit. But they were, this offensive line for the Chiefs was able to protect Patrick Mahomes. So I had people saying this game's going to be won and lost in the trenches, and that's going to mean it's going to bode well for the Eagles. The Chiefs' offensive line stepped up, played extremely well in protecting Patrick Mahomes.
Did you hear any of the concerns about the field and the playing surface?
Oh, yeah, that was terrible. Philly's kicker, like, falls on the kickoff.
Almost broke his ankle.
Oh, my gosh. How does it get that bad? Like, how is it that bad? It was terrible looking. How do you, on a Super Bowl, on a grand stage, you spend so much money on all this stuff to make the production what it is, and you're going to let the field look like that? I mean, you saw the pile of shoes, the pile of cleats that they just discarded because they all had to change shoes at halftime.
Did we forget how to grow grass?
I guess.
It doesn't need to be fancy. Just put some seeds out, let it grow, and then put the field in.
Yeah. That was bad. That was a rough look there, no question about it. They were all struggling with that. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Your thoughts on this game, your thoughts on that play, which is everybody talking. Is this the fix is in game for you, Angel? Because that's how it's been going for the Chiefs lately, is every time they win, it's like, oh, the fix is in.
I'm already tired of the script.
I am too. We had fun with it, but now it's
so annoying. Now everyone's saying, oh, the script. Like, even my dad was saying, oh, I read the script, Philly by three. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, I'm with you. We had fun with it for a while.
It's fun, but now everyone's buying into it. It's kind of like, oh, when everyone else is doing it, I'm kind of like,
yeah, now it's just the norm. It's the Marshawn Lynch thing. I'm just here so I don't get fined. Because then everybody started repeating that.
It's funny when like a couple of people like, oh, it might be scripted. When everyone says it's scripted, then it's, you believe in that crap?
No. Now it's like, no. No, it's not. And here's the other thing. Here's what I don't like. You can't call that in that situation. I hear that all. You always hear that. You hear that in sports, in basketball, Final Four, NBA Finals, deep stuff when you're in the championship games. You can't call that in that game. Okay, the first question is, did you think there was some kind of defensive holding? And if your answer is even a little bit, then you can't go back. You can't call that in that game. If you thought it was some kind of holding, then yes, they can call that. And they did the right thing. There was some jersey grab going on there, a little bit, just enough to slow him down. So I just don't like the argument against it. Like, you can't call that. I've always hated that. Wait, are you saying that it wasn't a penalty of some sort or a foul or whatever? No, I'm just saying you can't call that in that tight of a situation. Well, then you're wrong. Because if that's your response, is you can't call that, you're wrong.
I mean, ideally, you don't want officials or refs to influence a game. In football, it's different because the penalties are actually kind of, they can hurt you. It's the difference between, you know, going for it on fourth down or kicking a field goal or, you know, punting distance, all of that. Penalties in football are very, very, you know, consequential. And ideally, you don't want that to happen, but these guys, the players, no, you can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
The refs know that you can't do that. If I see you doing something you're not supposed to do, I have to do my job and throw the flag.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't one of those obvious plays where I went, oh, man, they missed that one big time. Probably was holding.
Was it as bad as last year's with the Rams and the Bengals?
Oh, with what call was that?
It was the... I think it was an early defensive PI on the Bengals as the Rams were like right at the goal line.
Mm-mm. Wasn't as bad as that. Like, this was...
It was very quick.
It
happened so quickly.
It slowed down the receiver's momentum.
If you see the momentum slow down, if you see the jersey pulled in an unnatural way, you have to call it.
If it slows the guy down from completing his route, then yeah. And as far as the catch thing goes... This will tell you, okay, my father-in-law, we're watching the game, and he doesn't watch, he's watching more football now because I do, but he doesn't watch a lot of football. So as soon as one of the deep ones, was that Devonta Smith? Wasn't that Smith?
Yeah,
and it was a lot like what happened 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, oh, after the replay, I said, oh, that's going to be overturned. And my father-in-law was like, why? He was in bounds when he caught it. And I said, you got to complete the catch. That's the rule. That is the rule that they decreed. You have to complete the catch, whether you're going out of bounds or not. And as he hits the ground, the ball looks, there's one key shot there where the ball seems to be out of his hands. And then it kind of pops back up into his arms. That's the rule. Do I love the rule? I actually was okay with that ruling.
It makes sense as a rule. It's just, when you see it in live action, it's... like, oh, well, he caught it. It's fine. Like, look, he caught the ball. Like,
he caught the ball,
no,
and then he went out of bounds.
A frame where he doesn't have possession.
Right.
He hits the ground.
He went to the ground. He's out of bounds, but that doesn't matter. It's the rule is you got to complete the catch. Okay, were both feet in bounds when he physically caught the ball? Yes. Did he have the ball not moving around before he stepped out of bounds? Yes. Third box that he has to check off is, did he complete the catch? And he did not complete the catch. That's an obvious one to me. Then the other one people are arguing about was actually the other one going against the Chiefs, where they recovered another fumble and ran back for a touchdown. And
it was
Chiefs,
a Goddard catch,
yeah,
right?
And Chiefs fans were like, "No, that's a fumble." That was not a fumble. It was too short. He bam, bam. He didn't make a real athletic move upfield. So I was good with that call. I actually, then there was a weird second down or whatever, again, where the Chiefs, there was a weird substitution or something like that. I don't remember what it was. I didn't think the officiating was that bad. I didn't have a problem with it. Brady, that's because you picked the Chiefs and they won. The Eagles were up by 10. Don't give up a punt return like that.
Don't fumble the ball.
Don't fumble the ball. Jalen Hurts just dropped it. I mean, I know he was trying to make something happen, but he just dropped it. Who, other than that, played a beautiful game of football. I mean, you saw two great quarterbacks. One who's already done it and proving it year in and year out. And the other, who's probably now going to be a fixture. Enjoy that, because the new crop of quarterbacks is here. Aaron Rodgers is in some dark cabin somewhere. And Tom Brady is, you know, retiring on the beach again. People are selling the sand from that. You're seeing Russell Wilson, we have no idea. So you're seeing all those old greats that we've seen over the last few years, several years. And now you see these guys. I'm excited about it. I don't like seeing greats retire, but it's part of it. Well, now we got a bunch of new greats coming in. And Patrick Mahomes is that guy. Is he a top five quarterback now of all time?
Yes.
Man, it's in such a short time, too. But that's the difference. You know, you made the plays. He gets hurt. You're thinking, oh, boy, this is bad. Then he goes into halftime for half an hour. What's going on in there for half an hour? Then he looked fine. Didn't really seem to be in pain. He was moving around. He had that run late that put him in the good spot to ultimately win the game. You could tell he's like, where is everybody? And he's kind of running slow but guarding himself. It was a very awkward run. But nobody could bring him down. Great game. Really, let's get to the good, the bad, and the ugly presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. For more, go to fmsbank.com/KFK. This is one of those rare Super Bowls where even tight games can still be boring games. I mean, watch a Patriots Super Bowl for the most part. Those were all pretty boring games. 17-13, 17-14. This was a great football game. I'm not agreeing or disagreeing with the call at the end. I'm just saying it is what it is. That call killed the momentum of the finish. That could have been the greatest finish ever. The Chiefs could have kicked the field goal, and then now it's going to come down to a Jalen Hurts special drive or a special stop by the Chiefs. We didn't get to see that. That's part of it. But other than that, it was great. And that's the bad is the call. Whether you agree with it or not, which is the poll question of the day, it happened, and it killed the bookend of a great, great, legendary football game. I think it'll still go down as a really, really great game. Maybe one of the better games we've seen in the Super Bowl. But that there's no question that the call, agree or disagree, soured the whole thing. And the ugly is nothing to do with the Super Bowl. It's stuff that was going on over the weekend. Now we know Bones Highland, of course, is gone. He's with the Clippers. Sounds like the Nuggets made out pretty well with this deal, too, with Reggie Jackson going to be a Denver Nugget. But Bones Highland, he's kind of been salty on Twitter lately. He posted a picture of himself in a Clippers t-shirt. He said, I'm going to make them pay for all them times. He's talking to the Nuggets, right? He's going at the Nuggets with that. So he's been pretty vocal about how he feels that about the Nuggets, and it's all about revenge and all that stuff. What a difference a couple of weeks make. Bones Highland was beloved and maybe a decent farewell, but then you see that, you're kind of like, make him pay for what? The fact that you left the bench and you were mad because of your minutes and the Nuggets ultimately felt like you weren't pulling in the right direction? Yeah, a little saltiness. It's okay. It's good. All right, there it is. The good, the bad, the ugly presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. When we come back, let's talk more about the Super Bowl halftime show. You know me. I'm a anti-halftime guy. I'm consistent with this. I don't care if it's my favorite band of all time playing at halftime. It's 30 minutes taking me away, taking the momentum away from football. Halftime is for, I'm just saying it. This is the truth. Halftime shows, don't happen at all throughout the course of the year. We don't see it in the AFC and NFC Championship. We don't see it in a regular season game. We don't see it on Monday Night Football, but we see it in the Super Bowl. Halftime shows are for fans that are not diehard football fans. That's for all of your friends that don't really watch football, and then suddenly they're like, I have comments on Rihanna's performance. It's like, I don't care. I'm not a music critic. I'm a football fan. I'm here for the football. So that's always been I've always maintained that. Last night was the same thing. It was a musical act. Did she sing well? I guess. Some people enjoy Rihanna singing. Did they dance well and choreograph well? I guess. But I'm watching football, bro. 26 minutes after the hour, it's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Don't go anywhere. A lot to unpack. We're going to get Steve Smiley on the show, too. Don't look now, but the UNC Bears have rattled off 3 wins in a row, trying to climb up those standings in the Big Sky. They could still maybe get in that top 5. We'll see if that's mathematically possible still. I think it is. But even so, they're gaining momentum. 27 minutes after the hour, we're live from the Aloe Fiber Studios. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. We're right here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Can the Bears win the Big Sky Tournament and punch a ticket to the big dance? Follow along on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Krista Mateo, your UNC women's basketball coach, and you are listening to the whole show, 1310 KFKA.
Do you agree with the defensive holding call at the end of the game last night? Of course, man. That's been the season here. We've talked about the NFL and how these games, a lot of them have come down to some questionable officiating. I'm also putting the question out there. Think about this. I mean, the season's over. It's sad time now, Angel. And I'm thinking about some of the big stories that decorated the season. So shoot me some texts on that. You know, what stood out to you? Obviously, DeMar Hamlin. Angel's boy, Tua, that was an interesting story development throughout the season. Bad officiating, especially in the playoffs, certainly a topic of discussion. The Broncos fiasco has to be a storyline. I mean, the Lions, Dan Campbell, kind of an interesting story. What else stood out? What else, some of the big things? Such a long season, man. There's so many things to go through. Geno Smith and the Seahawks. Like, that's a storyline there.
Deshaun Watson.
Oh, yeah.
All that.
Right.
That kind of bled into the Baker Mayfield stuff. He had that really crazy comeback win. And, like, 2 days of prep going into that game. I know for me it was, like, the field concerns with a lot of players. They don't like the turf as
turf,
much.
Yeah, that was a big deal.
Saw a little bit of that last night as well.
What else? Derek Carr's ending with the Raiders. Like, some of those things. So
Tom Brady's divorce
and their weird season, yet they get in the playoffs, all that stuff. At the end of the season, of course, it was pressure on coaches. Is McCarthy going to be the head coach? And Sean Payton, that stuff.
First-year head coaches.
Any news on the Cardinals today? Or the Colts?
I've heard nothing.
Is Eric Bieniemy going to become a head coach? Robert Griffin III tweeted out, here's your reminder that Eric Bieniemy should be a head coach. Why isn't Eric Bieniemy a head coach? There's got to be something. I mean, the obvious is, oh, well, doesn't Andy Reid call the plays? Isn't he the real play caller? And I know Bieniemy does some of it, but think it's Andy Reid primarily, and Bieniemy's been interviewed a lot. Is there something not clicking in the interview process when teams sit down with him?
Oh, in regards to the Colts, they are planning to hire Eagles OC Shane Steichen.
Ah!
Obviously had to wait until yesterday was over.
So they're going to get him. Okay. So who are the Cardinals going with? Like, it's got to be somebody from last night. Is it out? Is it floating around there just yet? I'm not sure. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Key plays in this game. And when you have tight games like this, and it really did feel like the Eagles were the better team. It did, in portions. They controlled the ball, the clock, all of that in the first half. The Chiefs barely touched that ball, man. And then they go into the half, 29 minutes. And it's like, are they going to be able to do this? They're down 10. Can Kansas City come back? I felt like they could. It all depended on how Patrick Mahomes came out the gates. And they drove right down quickly and scored to make it a three-point game. The Eagles go down and get a field goal. Then you get the punt return that set up the Chiefs and the go-ahead. They get the extra point. And then you get the other stop. And then you make another drive, and that's the game. Lonster's on the line. Lonster, what's up, man?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. What'd you think of that game last night?
Oh, I tell you what, that was a good Super Bowl game for a change.
It was, man. It really lived up to it. Obviously, the last minute and a half fizzled with the call, but it was a good game.
Yeah, it was. Well, you know, two things I think hurt Philadelphia was that fumble and then that call towards the end of it.
Yeah.
And I think if that didn't hurt, I think Philadelphia could have just ran all over him a little bit.
Yeah, no, it was. I hated the way it ended. I'm not disagreeing with the call. I wanted to see some kind of crazy defensive stop or some kind of crazy Jalen Hurts drive. It was setting up to be that way, and we didn't get to see that.
No, we didn't. And I'm going to say some of the strange things that went on. I think this some of the calls from the officials and the way they hold up the game so long.
They take forever to figure out. I mean, they're looking at the same stuff we're looking at. And they really take their time, don't they?
They do. I mean, it's like, just look at it real quick and get it done. But no, they got to sit us, hold us for like, what, 5 or 10 minutes?
Yeah, where it's like that game is already full of distractions and, you know, a lot of time between events. So, yeah, they're taking their time doing it, too.
Lonster, so they need to look into that here.
Yeah, they got to fix something. Probably going to revisit the catch rule because that has everybody going crazy. Hey, how about this one for the poll question? Do you agree with the defensive holding call at the end?
No.
Okay, so you're going 71% of the hooligans agree with you. So I get it. What's for lunch today, man? Super Bowl leftovers or what?
You know what? We're going to have meatloaf for dinner.
Oh, that sounds good. Good meatloaf. I like a good loaf of meat.
Yep, I can handle that anytime. You know.
Well, all right. Enjoy, my friend. Lonster, appreciate the call.
You guys have a good day.
You too, man. Poll question of the day is available at thewholeshow.com. Do you agree with the defensive holding call at the end of the Super Bowl? 38 minutes after the hour. Let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Clay Millen, quarterback for the Green and Gold, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
We love Northern Colorado. We love Weld and Larimer County. But let's face it, sometimes, the roads can be a little scary, can be dangerous at times. Whether it's great weather or not, things can happen. And maybe you or a loved one has been involved in a car accident from a negligent driver. There's only one law firm to contact, and that's Kane, Doolin, McQuinn, and Young Law Firm at trialproven.com. Our guy, Jerry Schimmel, you hear him on the Bears games, you hear him on these programs, the show he does, Amazing Americans. I'm telling you, that guy, the more I get to know him, the more I trust him and just think the world of him. So if he's telling you, hey, I work with these guys, he knows. He has the attorney experience to know that they're doing a great job. If he says it, you better believe it. That's Kane, Doolin, McQuinn, Young Law Firm at trialproven.com. That's trialproven.com. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. What are you making of Bones Highland, Angel? I know you were a really big fan, and obviously there were a lot of people. I think most Nuggets fans we're like really into the Bones Highland thing. And I think at the end, we all kind of just wondered, okay, he's really inconsistent. Maybe that makes sense. Still, a lot of people, as you noted on Fridays on Twitter, were very upset that the Nuggets only got 2 second-round picks in exchange for Bones Highland. But the more that comes out, the more it kind of seems like this was a necessary move, and the fact that Calvin Booth was able to sign up Reggie Jackson is making this move look, I think, a little bit better.
Yeah, and for the last couple of weeks, I was always kind of pushing back on the Bones, you know, rumors about the locker room and tension and stuff like that, because I personally just didn't want to believe it, you know, just from the limited access I get to these players and see them on social media, and that's just you assume that's how they are, and more and more comes out about this, and it's just, dang, man, I really wish this was going to work out, and I didn't think he was this kind of person. I don't think has any malicious intent by what he's saying. I think it's, you see a lot of athletes do this. They'll post on social media, you know, oh, this is what's going to motivate me for the rest of the season. And if he wants to get back at Denver, I think they got another two games against them down the stretch. So we'll see if you can hit a couple threes or hit zero threes, because that's the kind of performance you're getting from Bones.
That's who he is right now. And you know, I'm looking at it going, okay, if he doesn't get going in these regular season games, how much of an impact is he going to make for the Clippers in the playoffs? You know, I guess he's going to be their backup point guard right now. Really? I guess. Who else? I don't know.
Is he going to whine about that too?
I don't. He's not starting. But yeah, I can sense that it rubbed you the wrong way. The tweet, you know, like, I'm going to get at him, and it reminds me very much of the Bol Bol thing. It's like he was disinterested because his playing time wasn't there, and Malone sees that kind of stuff. He's like, are you going to fight for your right to party, as Kelsey said? Or are you going to exit the bench early and leave when an assistant coach is there?
No, I've said it. I mean, fans can be upset about the trade or whatever, but the reality is Malone gave him an opportunity about 2 months into the season, where he sat him down and they had some conversation, whether that was about, hey, this is how we're going to do the bench for a couple of weeks until Jamal gets going. This is how it's going to work. I need you to give me this level of performance. This is your opportunity. If you want to be that sixth man and not have Jamal have to help you out with the bench, I need you to prove that. He was given that opportunity and he didn't do it.
When you're having to take your starting point guard and put more minutes on him and to make him part of that second unit, because Jamal was like the two, he was playing with two different units.
Well, he would play for like 5 minutes, get subbed out, and then come back in to finish.
And you can't do that in the playoffs. You can't bring Jamal out early when the starters need to be making their money early in the game. You don't want to bring Jamal out because, you know, oh, Bones can't handle it, so I got to put Jamal back in with the second unit. Malone coached him hard, and Bones kind of went into a shell. Jamal Murray was coached hard by Malone. Michael Porter Jr. was coached hard. I'm guessing Joker was coached hard. And Joker and Jamal have become fixtures for the Nuggets, and Michael Porter Jr. is still a good player. He's learning, too. He's trying to do more of the defensive things. He hasn't looked particularly amazing the last few games, but he's trying to do the things Malone wants him to do, and
he's not as, he has a good attitude about it as before.
No. And he's not really a liability anymore. Michael Porter Jr. at one point, was that 2 years ago, he was a liability out there. Great, he can hit threes like crazy, an amazing shot, but his defense was so bad that he was a major liability on the floor. He's not a liability anymore. Him being on the floor is not going to cost you. He's not the best defense player in the world, but he doesn't look lost anymore. He's not
out
of position.
6'7".
Yeah.
So you have plenty of length
to recover.
In terms of defensive ability.
With Bones, listen, we all say the same thing. I think we all agree. We really loved who he was. He seemed to be great. But when push came to shove, and you couldn't handle how your minutes were being distributed every single night, you withered away. You
went
into a shell.
Capitalizing on those minutes.
Yeah. And you couldn't play defense. And you don't seem to be a pass-first point guard, which is strange for this team. We talked about the beginning of the season. This team is really taking on the image of Nikola Jokic, moving the basketball around. And if you have a player that's not going to do that, then it's not going to work. And listen, You look at Reggie Jackson right now. Is he better or worse or about the same as Bones? He's more consistent.
In this offense, he's better.
Yeah.
And I know we're probably not going to see it until after the break, but this bench unit with Reggie Jackson and Bruce Brown and Bryant, That could be fun.
And he's got playoff experience.
Yep.
He's got a lot of playoff experience. He's been to the playoffs 6 times in his career. 69 games of playoff experience under his belt. That was the idea for Calvin Booth all along. We need to get a better backup center, and we need to get a guy that's more consistent and perhaps experienced when it comes to the playoffs. So I think the Nuggets, I think they got out of this thing pretty well. I think Calvin Booth made some pretty crazy, you know, time will tell, but right now, Calvin Booth, man, he's got to be, if the Nuggets can make the playoffs what we think it's going to be, he's got to be considered for the executive of the year. The Bruce Brown move, the Will Barton trade, and getting KCP over here. I mean, he made some pretty, and then of course getting Thomas Bryant and trading Davon Reed, that's not a big loss at all. And then now this, okay, you got rid of Bones Highland for two second round picks. Not people didn't love it, but that also encouraged the Clippers to say, we're done with Reggie Jackson, I guess, and then that opened him up to be a free agent, and here the Nuggets go. I like it. 49 minutes after the hour. When we come back, Patrick Mahomes is, I mean, we talked about it, they're not a dynasty yet. They got to win another Super Bowl before they're a dynasty. But has Patrick Mahomes now put himself in that conversation of the greatest of all time when it comes to quarterbacks? Now, we know it's Tom Brady, but is he at least knocking on the door a little bit? Is he standing near the door? He's got some work to do, but I think they're the favorites to go right back there next year. So we'll talk about Mahomes coming up next. 11:50 the time. It's the whole show live from the Aloe Fiber Studios. We'll be right back.
Your home for UNC basketball. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Nico Carvacho, former CSU Ram, current pro basketball player, and you're listening to The Hall Show with my good friend, Brady Hall.
Now the football's over and the holiday rush is over, people are starting to think about nicer weather. There was a few days last week where you go, it was like almost 50, 45, whatever. You go outside, you don't even need a jacket. And you're starting to think, I know a lot of those golfers are starting to think about getting back into the club, getting their game going again. Eaton Country Club is a place I highly recommend because that is a great course from what I know of courses, but it is a relaxed environment. And I really enjoy that. For guys that aren't very good at golf, like Angel and I think I can speak for both of us, but we're going to change that this year. That's the plan. We have a plan, and we're going to try to really nail this thing down, man.
You got to practice.
That's the plan.
What better way to practice?
Right, than to go over to our friends at Eaton Country Club. So you guys should consider becoming a member. Membership opportunities can be found at eatoncc.net. Just a great environment, man. I even like going out there to McCarty's Grill. Like even during the winter when it snows and you're surrounded by the golf course and you just look out, it's beautiful. Absolutely gorgeous out there. And we're going to get our game going here. We're going to beat Tanner. That's the goal. He's pretty good though. He golfs all the time.
Just one hole or a full day?
Just one hole. Just give us one shot.
Because usually my first tee off is pretty solid. Everything after that is...
It's just such a mental thing for me, man. I'm very rigid when I go up there.
And then you try to make one little, like, okay, this little adjustment's going to fix it.
Right, and then that screws it up.
And then you get it.
Yeah.
And then you're like, okay, I'm going to do the exact same thing. And then it goes way off.
Yeah. I'm joking about, because Coach Bruce Dick came out with us a few times, and he's trying to coach me because that's what he does. He coaches. And I actually do worse. I do worse when I'm getting coached up. Because you got 5 different people telling you to do different things.
Oh, choke up a little bit on the stick there.
Stand closer to it. You know?
You got to keep your head on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Keep looking at the ball. That's my thing. I always look up.
Oh, I pull my head, do all that stuff. But maybe we can talk to some folks out there that could help us out. Maybe. Just maybe. We could do it. All right, we got a busy rest of the show coming up. We'll get to the lunch rush on the other side. Patrick Mahomes talk. Is Sean Payton, what he did over the weekend, is that something that's liable to get the Broncos into some trouble with the way Sean Payton was handling media day and such? We'll talk about it. more on the Nuggets, more on the Super Bowl, the commercials, the halftime show, all that coming up next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.